Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. We really, really appreciate and grateful that you keep sharing us with your friends and families. We've got overseas expanding here in the United States, continues to expand, and we're just really grateful for you. But with that, we've got some really special things we're talking about. You know, we all know AI's taking over the world, but you know what? There's a lot of people who try to take advantage of people. So I'm going to go through the top AI scams and what you can do about it and what to look for. But more importantly, you know what? I kept thinking about our episode today and I said, you know what? This could happen to anybody. You run a business, you made a bunch of money in the tax year, and then tariffs hit. You're like, hey, my whole business is changing. Your business drops significantly. And you know what? You've got to pay taxes for the previous year. What if you don't have the revenue to do that? What do you do? And you know what? Some people, you know, with the increase in costs and inflation, you know what? You're already stretched to the thin. You're overspending and you made a bunch of money and you got to pay taxes, but you don't have the money to do that. Or you have a spouse pass away and that spouse handled all the financial stuff and you didn't realize it. Or you thought you were okay with it, but now you have a tax debt. So the big thing is, what do you do? Well, guess what? We have Michael Rosbrook. He's a certified tax resolution specialist. Besides that, he's a CPA. He's also known as the Ross Man. He's a national recognized entrepreneur, coach, founder of the Ross Strategy and e-learning. He's a mentoring service company that helps over 10,000 CPAs, enrolled agents, and attorneys build profitable businesses around tax resolutions. Mike's done a wonderful job with that. The big thing here we're going to be talking about today is, how do people get in trouble with the IRS? What are the consequences for not paying your tax debt? You know, and you can't stick your head in the sand. That's important. But what are the questions for getting a tax resolution, you know, need to be asked to get reduced? And the bigger thing here is, if you're in this situation, you're looking to find somebody that provides that service, what do you need to be asking? What do you need to be looking for? With that, Mike, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much for having me on. I'm honored to be here with your audience.
Yeah, you know, it was really funny because Mike and I were talking, and Mike said earlier, he said, hey, I think I know you. And he started explaining one of the situations that about what happens. And I go, oh, my God, that was my client 10 years ago. But the cool thing about it is, he helped her. Got the year she didn't do the tax returns right, got the whole death thing right. And because of that, she's able to get her taxes up to date. And in fact, she was actually able to go on the trip she always wanted to go on because she wasn't able to get a passport because she didn't have her taxes taken care of. So again, hey, thanks. And, you know, thanks from the past. but Michael, let's start talking a little bit about, you know what, you've lived this for 20 years. So what are the things that you've seen of how people, not knowingly, but get into tax trouble?
That's a great question. So there's several ways people get into tax trouble. Let's take someone who is self-employed or is an independent contractor. In other words, they're not a corporation yet. They're basically, they file a Schedule C on their 1040. So folks in that category are five times more likely than a wage earner to have an IRS problem, because you think of a real estate person, especially when the real estate market is hot and they're making sales and the commissions are rolling in. And then the next 6 or 9 months, the real estate market cools, or they've used the money they made in commissions during 2024, let's say, to buy a car or to buy some luxury items. And then all of a sudden, when the estimated payments come due for the next year, for 2025, that money isn't there. So all of a sudden, they have this huge tax bill that they need to start paying in quarterly for, and they don't have the money. So that's one big way that people get into trouble if they're self-employed. And it doesn't have to be real estate. It can be anyone who's an independent contractor. Same thing holds true. On the other spectrum, wage earners get in trouble too, because a lot of folks go zero on their W-4 on their withholding. So they go 9 or 10 on their withholding. So they have very little withheld each paycheck. And then when April 15th comes along and they're at their accountant trying to get their taxes done, they owe a bunch of money and they don't have it because they've spent it throughout the year. So those are some of the ways. Other ways are through no fault of their own, because I used to represent many, many companies, let's say corporations or partnerships, where the accounting person, the controller, the finance guy, the CFO embezzled the 941 payroll taxes, set up bogus accounts in the general ledger, set up bogus invoices. So the owner gets the financial statements and it looks like everything is kosher. Meanwhile, the controller has been siphoning off all this 941 money for himself. Not only that, when the notices are mailed to the company, the controller takes the notices and puts them in a drawer. So the owner never sees any of the collection notices coming from the IRS. And then it's a huge, huge problem. So embezzlement, fraud, underwithheld, and not having money for estimated payments. Those are some of the big ways people get into trouble.
And what's really interesting about that last one is the owner doesn't really know until the IRS agent shows up at their door.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's serious. I mean, when you owe payroll taxes, the government looks at you as a thief, regardless of your character, because think about it. You have stolen your employees' money and the government is out twice. They're out, number one, because you give your employee a W-2 at the end of the year with all the withholding credits. The employee takes that W-2, files their 1040 and gets a refund. So the IRS is out there. Now the IRS is out a second time because that money was not paid over. It's supposed to be held in trust by the owner, by the corporation. So that money was never paid over. So the IRS is giving a credit or a refund to the employee, and they never got the money for that in the first place. And it's a very low bar. It's a very low threshold for that case to go criminal, actually.
Yeah, you know what? I actually know somebody who was responsible at, well, she was an accountant for the company. And basically, the owner had her sign those things, but he was playing the games. And the IRS showed up at her personal residence. And she's like, hey, you know, all I did was put these together just like he told me to and signed them and sent them to you. But I don't have any of that.
Yes. And that's known as, and here's the other reason why payroll taxes are so serious. The IRS assesses, not only is the corporation on the hook, but the individuals on their social security numbers, the owner, the bookkeeper, whatever, is also on the hook because the IRS assesses what's called the trust fund recovery penalty. And it's really a misnomer. It's not a penalty. It's actually the amount of the trust fund tax that should have been paid over. So these are large amounts that someone who has no ownership, no control over the corporation, but was paying checks or was in charge of the finances, that person can be held personally responsible for the corporation's liability.
So with that type of situation, is it one of those things where they find out this person was like an unknowing co-conspirator, so to speak? Do they give them some leeway or is it like, no,
yes,
we want money?
Yes, that person needs to get professional representation yesterday. The IRS does what's called a 4180 interview, and all the questions on the interview are very self-incriminating, so you don't want to fill that out yourself without representation. But if we can prove that the person was not on the bank SIG card, or if we can prove that they didn't have ultimate control over who got paid, usually the controller or the bookkeeper gives the checks to the owner to sign, and the owner will say, okay, send this one, send that one, don't send this one. If she did not have or he did not have that authority, we can get them off the hook that way.
Wow. You know what? It's really interesting. You're explaining all this stuff, and I'm like going, I don't even think that way.
Yeah.
So
one of the things...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
One of the things I used to tell clients all the time is you can't use the word FAIR and IRS in the same sentence. It's an oxymoron. Okay, what's bad is good, and what's good is bad when it comes to the IRS. It's totally an upside down world when you're dealing with the IRS, because you're guilty until proven innocent in the eyes of the IRS. So the entire justice system is turned on its head when you're dealing with the feds.
Oh yeah, no, I totally understand that. They send you that notice in the mail and says we're disallowing these deductions and we want $70,000. And then you go get somebody to go deal with it. And they're like, oh, we're, you know, okay, you're fine. But in the meantime, you're sweating it out and lost 20 pounds. So yep. I really get it. We have Mike Grossbrook. We're so lucky because he's talking about tax debt resolution. Now, you know what? Many people don't have any clue, Mike, what is the consequences for not paying a taxes. Now, we hear that if you're doing it with payroll taxes and stuff like that, the IRS is going to come after you. That's an enforcement. That's like the police force coming after you. They think you've done wrong. But you know what? See, people stick their head in the sand. You know, what are the consequences? What should people know?
What people should know is this. You have to file your tax returns, okay? Even if you don't have money to pay. Okay, it's a misdemeanor in this country, punishable up to 1 year in prison and a $10,000 fine for every year a legally required tax return is not filed. Furthermore, from your pocketbook or wallet standpoint, if you fail to file a tax return, there is a 25% penalty that accrues within 5 months after that due date of that return. So just by filing the tax return, even if you don't have a dime, you've just taken that 25% failure to file penalty off the table. And even if you can only pay $5 or $10, let's say you owe $40,000, send them a check for $5 or $10 on that liability. And I'll tell you why that's so important. Number one is the IRS will record that the return was received on time because they will post the payment along with the return, because a lot of things are getting lost in the IRS these days. But if you send it in with a check, that will ensure that it gets posted. The IRS doesn't lose money. They'll lose paper, but they will not lose a check. So that's a really good tip for someone who's coming up on the filing season. Maybe, you know, you did an extension because you don't have the money, which is not an extension to pay. It's just an extension of time to file. But, you know, October 15th is right around the corner. And even if you don't have money when October 15th comes, file the return. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is owing the IRS is worse than owing your mother-in-law. And the reason is interest is compounded daily like a credit card. And over the last 18 months, as we've seen interest rates rise, the IRS interest rate right now is between 7 to 9% compounded daily. During the COVID years, it was very, very low. It wasn't that big a deal. But every day that you have a tax debt that goes unpaid, that interest is getting compounded like a credit card. It's like the rule of, I think it's 72, you know, a debt will double every 7 years at 10% interest. So if you're behind for a few years, that debt is increasing.
So I have a question, and some people have asked, is there a point in time where that interest stops, or does it just keep going into purgatory until you pay or die?
The penalty stops. Oh, there's two penalties. One is the failure to pay a file penalty, which is capped at 25%. And then there's the failure to pay penalty, which is capped at 25%. So you can incur penalties of over almost 50% of the principal, but the interest, Steve, continues to accrue. There's no cap on the interest.
Okay, so that just keeps going. So that's important to know. This isn't going to stop, so you're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
Okay, so, all right. So we have somebody who... let's talk about the impacts of not paying. What does the IRS do? You know, you're here, you are, you filed the tax return, but haven't paid, or you paid very little. You know, if you continue to pay, do the IRS leave you alone? What do they do?
So the IRS, they have to send a series of statutory notices before they can do any real damage. So there's usually three to four, there's a series of three to four notices spread about 4 or 5 weeks apart. So if you file your 2024 return, let's say April 15, 2025, and you didn't pay, I know that you've already gotten most of those notices, and you've probably gotten what's called, I call it the bad boy notice. That notice comes certified. It's an LT11 notice from the IRS, and it's basically the final notice. This is your final notice before we're going to go into your bank account or garnish your wages and your right to a collection due process hearing. So the IRS can, if you ignore these notices and put your head in the sand and don't take action, the IRS will not only garnish your paycheck, hijack your bank account, but they can seize personal and real property. And they can do this, Steve, without filing a physical 8.5 by 11 piece of paper called the Notice of Federal Tax Lien.
Oh.
The IRS is the most special creditor on the face of the planet. They can go into your bank account and garnish your wages without a court order or a lien filed. No one else in the world, no other creditor in the world can do that. It's called a secret lien. Although the IRS files the 8.5 by 11 piece of paper with the county recorder, but they don't have to in order to go into your bank account.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's talk about this. You know what? I'm going to say this. We hear about people getting calls from the IRS, and they say, you know what? You need to pay this up. Is that something that's real, or is it a scam?
Scam. IRS will never call you. IRS will never, ever call you. IRS will never, ever send an email, ever.
Okay. They only send you letters and then they certify them.
Right. Now, they can, after they send those letters, they have the right to come visit and knock on the door, but they will not call you or they will not email you.
Okay. That's wonderful, because I'll be talking about scams later. That's nice to know. Okay. So now, if they're coming after and they can garnish that, now how does it affect somebody's lifestyle? So if they want to go travel and all that kind of stuff, they can stay in the country, but they can't go out?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that a tax resolution specialist does is save their client's financial life. I mean, that's what we're doing, because the stress, forget about the financial impact, but the emotional and physical stress of owing the IRS and not having it resolved. You know, I've seen people die of heart attacks from the stress. I've seen people get sick because of the stress. But it really ruins all aspects of one's financial life owing the IRS. And it ruins their marriage. It could ruin their relationships with their spouse. It could ruin relationships at their employer. I mean, what if they're an executive and the HR department gets a wage garnishment notice? I mean, all of a sudden, that person is embarrassed. Their stock, so to speak, has dropped at the corporation. So it actually impacts other aspects of the person's life.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. I'm just like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Let's see. So the smart thing is just to deal with it. Now, here's a question. And this has come from probably about a good 100 people have asked this question. And the question's this: they already know they have a tax debt. They don't have the money.
Right.
Would it make sense to just pay what you can on a monthly basis? Because one of our listeners just indicated, hey, I'm paying like $50 a month.
No, that listener should hire somebody. Like a tax resolution specialist, because you don't want to throw good money after bad. When the first thing we do when we take on, when we took, I don't practice any longer, but when I did practice, the first, and this is what I teach, when you take on a client, you need to analyze their current financial situation. Okay. And based on their current financial situation, they're either going to qualify for one of five collection alternative settlement options. Okay, the one that we hear on the radio a lot, and the one that is the big hook, is the offer and compromise program, which is, let's say...
Hey, Mike, oh, let me hold you off right there. Before we get into that, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve, and this is a good cliffhanger for Mike. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we're talking about the ins and outs of money. We're getting right back to it. We got Mike Rosebrook here. He's talking about what you should do if you have a tax debt, okay? And I just asked the question, hey, should people be paying, you know, $50 a month if they owe a big tax bill? What should they do? And he goes, no, you should be calling somebody. So Mike, let's walk through, you know, what is the scenario where people should be calling you and you're just about to get into the offer and compromise piece? So, you know what, when is the time somebody should be contacting somebody that does tax resolution?
Right. So usually when the debt is, let's say, over $15,000. Okay. So if you have a tax bill that's over $15,000, you should be contacting a tax resolution expert or specialist, because that person may find ways based on a formulaic driven process where you can settle that debt for sometimes a fraction of what's owed. Through the offer and compromise program, which is a debt reduction settlement option, or what I like even better is called a partial pay installment agreement, where you're only paying back a partial amount of what's owed over time. And the reason why I like the partial pay installment agreement over the offer and compromise, because the offer and compromise is very, very intrusive. It's a paper blizzard. Most people do not qualify for the offer and compromise program, and it's handled by a different unit of the IRS versus a partial pay installment agreement is a more automated, easier way to qualify. And a lot of times, Stephen, you just mentioned, a lot of times we could probably come up with a $50 a month payment on the $15,000 over the life of the collection statute expiration date. Let's say that $15,000 debt is from 2017, which means it's going to expire in 2028. Because if you take 2017, they filed it by April 15th, 2018. The IRS is barred by operation of law from collecting on that debt after 10 years. So 2018 plus 10 is 2028. If they came to me now, they only have like 36 months left on the collection statute expiration date. So if I'm doing a $50 a month payment, 50 times 12 is how much? $600 times 3 years, that's $1,800. I just settled a $15,000 debt for $1,800.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So what you're saying is, if somebody has a tax debt for 10 years, the IRS can't collect on it after that 10-year period.
Right. But they have to file. So someone who hasn't filed, the statute is wide open.
Okay.
You have to file the return for that 10-year clock to begin ticking.
Okay. So you have to file. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's kind of good to know for some of those people who've been out there for a while.
Exactly. If you have an old tax debt, you really should hire a resolution specialist, because that person could perform magic for you.
Now, one of the there's a few people who were business owners, and I want to say this right. They set up a defined benefit or defined contribution plan, funded it for a couple of years. Things happened with the company, and they didn't suspend it or anything like that for another 3 years, and then they shut the thing down. The problem is there was they got a penalty for not funding it, and they're looking to settle that. Is that settleable?
Is it a penalty from the IRS? If it's an IRS related penalty, it depends what kind of penalty it is, and you they usually refer the penalty to an Internal Revenue Code section. Depending on what the penalty is, it may be abatable. You may be able to get it reduced. But now you're talking about specific facts and circumstances, so it's possible, but it's difficult.
So that means somebody should be getting in contact with somebody.
You do not want to do that yourself.
Yeah. So, and I can see, you know, what's really interesting is there's a lot of people who put in the offer of compromise and they get rejected.
Yeah.
More than 1,000 people were said, you know what? None of that stuff works. I put in this offer and compromise and it got rejected. And it didn't work. And, you know, here I am in trouble, still trying to pay. And you know what?
Here's the thing with that. So my offer and compromise success rate was over 90%. So I didn't submit frivolous offers. I submitted good offers, but I also knew that 90% of my 90% of offers got rejected at the first level of defense. I'm going to say that again. When you do an offer and compromise, you got to go in with the mindset it's getting rejected, because I'm dealing with government service level civil servants who are making $18 an hour, okay, who do not care or do not know the law or the rules. Their mantra, their job description, their task is to reject the offer and compromise. The IRS is not in the business of writing off taxes or settling taxes. It's just the opposite. So once that rejection comes in, I used to love and hope for the rejection, because now I do the appeal and I'm dealing with a CPA or a lawyer at the appellate division, and most of my cases got settled at appeals, because appeals mantra is they weigh hazards of litigation. In other words, if this case went to court, what would happen? And again, I said I only submitted offers I knew were good offers, so I was very confident once we got to appeal, it would settle.
So when you know what, I think the good offer is the vague thing. So help us understand. Because there's people out there who think they're going to get tax debt resolved for pennies on the dollar and all that kind of stuff. But what's a realistic offer? You know, let's say somebody owes $15,000 and it's an offer and compromise. What's realistic?
Well, first of all, at $15,000, I wouldn't personally do an offer and compromise, because the cost versus benefit relationship with regard to fees doesn't make sense. Because I got to charge a minimum of $5,000 for the offer. So let's say the offer was $5,000, my fee is $5,000, so they owe $15,000. Okay, they got a reduction of $5,000. Okay, some people may say, okay, that's great. But think about someone who owes $250,000. Okay, and their financial situation comes out the 433A, which is the meat and potatoes of the foundation of any collection case. It's a 6-page financial statement. If that financial statement, at the end of the day, their reasonable collection potential or disposable income says the offer should be accepted at about $33,000. Think about it. That person owes $250,000. I'm pretty confident I can settle the case for $33,000. That's a great deal. And that person will also pay a $20,000 to $25,000 fee for that privilege and still be very, very happy.
Well, that's a touchdown.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. All right. So the reality check is the most important thing, because you hear all these stories about.
Yeah, the most important thing about the offer and compromise program, Steve, is equity and assets. It has nothing to do with you if you can reach the equity. That's off the table. If you have $100,000 in a home, but your credit score is in the tank, and no financial institution in the world is going to touch you to refinance or give you a HELOC. The IRS doesn't care in an offering compromise. The offer amount's got to be represented by the net equity in that asset. Mm-hmm. So you would have to put a $100,000 offer in, even if you couldn't get to the equity in the house.
Oh, I see.
But in a partial pay installment agreement that I was talking about before, they don't look at equity.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying a lot of times I call the PPIA, the partial pay installment agreement, the backdoor offer and compromise, because I don't have to go through all the intrusiveness of an offer.
Okay, so the partial payment, is it one of those things where people have to come out with their finances again?
Or? Yes, you still have to fill out a 433A, but it's a different unit that is looking at it. And if you can show that unit that you've got, you have to apply for the HELOC, apply for the second mortgage or the refi. And if you can show them a declination letter, mm-hmm. they will use that and not require you to do anything with the equity. But not in an offer and compromise. In an offer and compromise, that's off the table.
So what are the other three settlement options?
The other three are currently not collectible, which is a hardship status. That's where the IRS puts you in a status 53, a CNC, currently not collectible. And the IRS will not require you to make any monthly payments. However, interest and penalty continue to accrue. Okay, but it also doesn't stop the 10-year clock from ticking, which is a great strategy. So if you have an old debt or you have an elderly person on fixed income, the CNC is a wonderful tool to use because you could just run out the clock and not make any payments.
Okay, and then the fourth one?
Fourth one would be innocent spouse.
Okay, I actually know somebody who's had a situation on that one as well. There's two other options for settlement. You talked about five. We had the offer and compromise, the payment program, the hardship program. What's the other two?
The other two would be penalty abatement and innocent spouse.
Okay, so let's go with the innocent spouse first.
Okay, so innocent spouse, there's a code section 6015 which governs innocent spouse. But what's really cool about innocent spouse is there's three different ways to qualify for innocent spouse relief. One of the ways is equitable relief. And what that means is and they actually, IRS looks at a fairness doctrine, if you will. So equitable relief may be that you have a couple, a husband and a wife, and the husband, let's say, took care of everything. Mm-hmm. And then that person either left the relationship or died, and now the wife is involved with everything. Now, the IRS looks at the education level of the spouse, what kind of schooling she had. So let's say she graduated college and actually had a postgraduate degree. The IRS is going to want to hold that spouse to a higher standard. They're going to say she ought to have known because of her education level. But you can make an argument that she was shielded from any of the financial situation. I had a case just like that where it was a doctor and the spouse, and they owed $972,000 on a joint return. And then they got divorced, and she filed for innocent spouse relief. We were able to prevail because we showed that this medical doctor actually had a separate life. He had a mistress. He had a separate house. Separate cars in the mistress's name. So we were able to show that she should not be held liable at all because she knew nothing what was going on. The other one, I forget what the name of that section is, but a lot of times a spouse's signed returns under duress could be physical abuse, verbal abuse, signing the return. If you can prove that that signature is not your signature, you can get relief under innocent spouse in that case. So
okay, so that signature isn't your signature. So if you know what you have, an innocent spouse, they have no clue whatsoever about tax returns. Just barely got out of high school,
right?
And they're signing the tax return just because that their husband says, "Hey, I need you to sign the tax return." They just sign it. You know what? Is that considered like an innocent spouse situation if they have no clue?
I would make the argument. It would be better if the husband actually forged the wife's signature.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that happens more times than you think.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Okay. And then what's the last one?
Last one is, which I really like, is penalty relief, penalty abatement. Because there's two ways to obtain penalty abatement. The first way you can do over the phone with a phone call. No written form, no written authorization. It's called first time penalty abatement. It's an administrative waiver. And if your record, let's say you want to get the penalties abated from 2023, as long as you can prove that 2020, 21, and 22, there were no penalties on those prior 3 years, the IRS will automatically waive the failure to file and the failure to pay penalty.
But
you have to show that you were a good boy or good girl the prior 3 years. No assessment, no penalty assessment.
So that's like saving 50%.
Well, it's probably not going to be that old. It depends.
Okay.
You could, Steve. Theoretically, you could if it's a very old year. You could. But remember, the 3 years prior to the year you're going for the penalty abatement relief on have to be free and clear of any assessed penalties.
Okay. I get it. Okay. So next, you know what? There's a number of people who have asked the questions that one needs to ask to find the right provider. So I know you teach people how to do this all over the country.
Yep.
I mean, you've taught a good 10, 20, 30,000 people how to do this, and they run wonderful business and all that. But you all know, and we all know that all businesses aren't great businesses.
Right.
All providers aren't the best providers. So the questions is, you know what should somebody be asking if they're in this situation? Let's start by this. Let's reiterate how much debt, tax debt you have, what would be the amount that you would need to go and connect with somebody like yourself.
I would say you should owe at least $15,000 to $20,000.
Okay. So then it makes sense for 15. Now, if it's $15,000 to $20,000, okay, how do I go and find somebody? Where's the best place to find them? Where's the best place to check them out before you even talk to them?
Got it. So I would do, so in any given area today, there's about 5,600 searches a month online for a tax resolution specialist. So probably one of the best ways to go about doing this is put in the search bar tax resolution specialist or tax attorney or offering compromise debt reduction. Those are some of the keywords that you can put in the search bar, and those prominent experts in your local area should come up in the rankings, you know, 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And then I would look at reviews. Okay. I would really look at Google reviews, not Yelp reviews, not any other type of reviews. I would look at Google reviews. The more Google reviews, of course, if they're between 4 and 5 star, the better. Do not hire someone who has a perfect record. Do not hire someone who has a 5-star review. Okay, because in this business, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. So if they've been in business any length of time, it should be like 4.8, 4.9. If you see a 5.0 review, I'm telling you, because, you know, people are crazy today. So no matter, you could do the best job in the world, but people will still complain and put a bad review on.
I was just going to say the same thing. It doesn't matter what business you're in. If you've got a lot of reviews, there's always going to be somebody
yes.
you don't collect with, doesn't get exactly what they want, and they're going to send you down the toilet, so to speak, right. on a review.
Yep.
And now you said Google reviews. Why not Yelp?
In my opinion, Yelp is a lower quality review for a professional practice. I think Yelp is great for restaurants and other type of hospitality and entertainment venues. But from a professional practice standpoint, I think Google holds more weight.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate that. Okay, so now we've went and searched, we've checked out the reviews, we engaged somebody. What are the questions that we should be asking to make sure we find the right person for us?
So one of the questions is you know, how long have you been doing this? What's your track record? Do you offer a guarantee? And let me just say that if someone offers a guarantee, you want to run as fast as possible in the other direction. Okay? Because the IRS is the final arbiter. They have the final word. I'll give you an example, Steve. When I was first new in practice, I guaranteed somebody I could get their levy released. Okay? He was assigned to a revenue officer. Bottom line is I couldn't get it released because what the taxpayer client failed to tell me that 5 weeks before, a revenue officer visited his house and he punched him out.
Oh.
He had a federal officer. He's lucky he didn't go to jail. He didn't tell me that. So there was no way that levy was getting released. So you can't make any guarantees or promises. You can give ranges. You could say it's more likely than not based on historical experience, given your situation. This is what we've done before, and give a range. That's more, you know, that's better.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say I got where they disallowed a bunch of deductions, and it took 4 months for them to actually respond and say, okay, you're okay.
Yeah.
That was me doing the work. But Michael, I want to, first of all, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing all the information. Love the stories. But how can people get a hold of you or your firm or somebody how can they get help?
So if you're a taxpayer and has a tax problem, you can certainly reach out to us and we can hook you up with our over 450 members throughout the country if you have a tax problem. If you're a CPA, an enrolled agent, or an attorney and want to build a lucrative business around tax resolution, that's really what I do now. But either in any event, just go to our website, which is rozstrategies.com, and you can connect with us there. There's some free resources there. We have a YouTube channel as well. I'm on LinkedIn. So rozstrategies.com.
Folks, you want to reach out to him if you need help. Michael Rosebrook, thank you so much for being here. Folks, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, wasn't Michael Rosebrook wonderful? It was great. Now let's talk about scams continue to evolve. With AI-powered tactics, they become more sophisticated. Common scams include impersonation scams where criminals are posing as a trusted individual or organization to steal information or money. AI-driven scams utilize deep fakes, voice cloning, romance scams, employment scams, and cryptocurrency scams also remain prevalent. Key scam types here in 2025. The reality is AI is being used to create more realistic phishing emails, fake videos, even things you see on Facebook, even cloned voices to deceive people. These impersonation scams, scammers are posed as government officials. You just heard Mike talk about, hey, the IRS is never going to call you. They're impersonating family members, a trusted company to trick individuals into providing personal information or money. Romance scams. Scammers are creating fake profiles on dating apps, social media to build relations and eventually ask for money. employment scam. Job seekers are targeted with fake job postings and requested for upfront fees for training and equipment. Cryptocurrency scams, fraudulent schemes, fake giveaways, phishing attacks targeted cryptocurrency investors. Online purchase scams, fake e-commerce sites lure victims and tempting email deals. Tech support scams. This is a biggie. Scammers impersonate tech support to gain remote access to computers and steal information. What's really interesting about this is the fact that you push a button, you hear the and they want you to call a number to get it fixed, and all they're going to do is drain your bank account. Check fraud, increased theft, and alteration of mail checks, and they're using AI to do it. Sextortion scams. Scammers target teens by pretending to be young women online, getting you to share your pictures. And then they're scamming you for money. The big thing to look out for now is QR code scams. Fake QR codes are used to direct or redirect users to malicious websites or steal information. So the big question is, how do you protect yourself? Number one, be skeptical. Don't trust unsolicited messages or calls, especially those demanding immediate action or sensitive information. Verification emails. Independently verify requests for money or personal information by contacting the supposed sender through a trusted source. And you know what? When you contact that supposed sender, you might go on the internet or go in, like if it's the IRS, go find the phone number. Okay. Avoid clicking suspicious links. Do not click on links in suspicious emails or messages. One of our clients received this message, and I'm just going to share with you what it shows. And it shows a picture of the company. Okay. And it says account security verification is required due to suspicious login activities. Please verify your account via the link below to avoid any service disruption. It's a scam, and they're trying to scam somebody at a major Fortune 500 company using a deep fake. Okay? Protect your personal information. Never share your social security number or financial information with unverified sources. Be cautious of too good to be true. If an offer seems too good to be true, it probably is. So, for example, you go online, you're shopping for purses. You see that cool Louis Vuitton purse, regularly $2,200. And somebody's got it for $400. You're like, oh my God, that's a great deal. Why do they have it for $400? Maybe I'll go get it. I'll get it for $400. It'll save me a lot of money. And you never receive the purse and you're out $400. And now they have your credit card. Report the scams. Report scams to relevant authorities, such as the federal FBI, advertising, FCC, Federal Communications Commission, local police department. I'm going to say this right up front. We had one client. She got taken advantage by somebody in a romance scam, and she ended up investing her whole entire IRA over a period of 8 months. We're talking almost $500,000. Into this, and they scammed her, and she wouldn't report it to the IRS or the authorities until the IRS showed up at her doorstep saying, hey, you owe us $210,000 in taxes. Okay, so she had to go file with the FCC, she had to go file with the local police, the FBI, and the IRS waived those taxes because she was scammed. So folks, again, it's so very, very important you take care of yourself. Again, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. I appreciate you letting us, you know, leave friends, family, associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you enjoy the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show, and check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Hey, you can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton, the Insider Club. Again, thank you for being with us. I hope you have a wonderful week right here on Saving with Steve. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.